Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
I really got out a lot out of today, and I think of this as marketing and promotion. I'm actually walking away with development and growth.
Yeah, I thought this whole experience, the mentoring conversation before we started recording and this conversation after, was extremely helpful.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Sally Doyle is today's podcast sponsor, so you can schedule a profit analysis for only $99 with Sally, who is the founder of Absolute Business Solutions. You can take charge of your money life. She's known as a trustworthy bookkeeper, profit strategist, and innovative thinker who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for, so you're freed up to do the work you're good at and keep leading. So call Sally today, get a profit analysis, a second opinion, at 1-651-208-8151. Today in the studio, I'm continuing our second conversation with Geeta Muzumdar, and she has a project that she calls Mystic Maraba, which is on her website. She's from India, and we've been talking about, in our first conversation, her upbringing and how nurturing her father was. Her mother was very orderly, and how involved her grandmothers were in her life and so many memories that she has. And her favorite elderly Adivasi, Badi, brought even tears to her eyes in recollecting her memories of holding you closely. So welcome to the program again. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yes. So in our first conversation, we're exploring kind of what traditions you're carrying forward from India, and realized over time the importance that food plays in our lives and captures. It's a way of connecting. It's a way of using all the elements. And it's a very serious way of looking at food.
At food and yourself too, you know, like there's a mantra that I've actually put on my website that basically says that, you know, from the earth came seed, from seed came food, from food came man. And that man is essentially made up. Is the essence of food. And so it is something that reminds us of where we are in that big chain in the cycle of one part of this larger aspect of being.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You create and serve these regional cuisines of India that you call the Thali Tiffin services or meals. Now, this isn't a business. So tell us a little bit more of why you decided it's not going to be a business, that it's going to be a way in which you share meals with certain people, not everybody. Like I was introduced to you, you know, of a friend of a friend's kind of thing. So tell us more about how you've created this life around traditions that you would like to pass on through the cookbook that you're doing. And also, this morning before we taped, you were working with a group of women making food.
Yes. Yes.
So it's every Monday. You bring in the community.
Yes. So every Monday since 1991, I think, we've been getting together. It started with just a neighbor and myself. And then we added somebody else on a year later. And the three of us used to cook together every Monday in the tradition of India. We'd make some Indian dal and some chutney and a little bit of rice and feed, you know, make the food together and then take it home. Because Indian food takes a little bit of time. And if you have somebody in the kitchen with you, it's a lot of fun to do it that way. And it's how it was made when I was growing up. It would be my grandmother. If my mother and aunt were visiting, they would be in the kitchen as well. And I remember my father and uncle also chopping. They would be given jobs of, you know, de-leafing the cilantro or chopping potatoes to a very specific size. And as a child, I would be given, I'm trying to think of what I was given. I wasn't trusted with too many things. I had to pick the stones out of the rice. I remember doing that.
Hmm.
Or sifting.
Yeah.
Sometimes some form of washing. But it was a, like, we'd all sit there and chat and cook together and think about
the food. 2 to 3 hours every Monday? Or how much time?
Yes, yeah, we get together about 3 hours a day and 3 hours and then take home. Today we took home, I mean, they have two dishes that they are taking home.
I remember when it was in the late 90s and there was a woman who wanted to start a business with bringing other, you know, who it happened to be women, but bringing people together to cook meals together. And then everybody would, you know, so you would make a specific dish and then we would take turns. So you would have, like, we had seven people. And so we had seven dishes.
How lovely.
One for one day of the week. And then as soon as we tried to organize it, commercialize it, it didn't work. And then all of our schedules kind of changed. But I just thought the idea of cooking together has always been such a wonderful thing because we also have smaller families.
Mm.
So if I think about my grandmothers, I think, you know, large families, 13, 14 kids on my mom's side and my dad's, my paternal side, there are 9 siblings. And so, you know, there's lots of cooking all the time. And so there was always somebody in the kitchen, you know, that was like the most visited, you know, busy place.
It is.
And it still is. But I think that we're having to make, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm just thinking how we have to make more efforts because there's a lot of people who are isolated because we're living longer. People are living more alone. And so these traditions that were automatically built in because we have big families, now we have to really think about them and
yes.
plan around them.
Yes. And so much of the food is outsourced in a way. Like there's a business that will make the food and you just take something out of a package and then reheat it and eat it. And you miss this whole process of living. This time that I spend with the women in the kitchen, we love it because it's our therapy, you know. We raised our children.
Yeah.
We talked about the various parts of growing up and how to deal with it.
Because you've been together for how long?
We've been doing it since 91. So 28 mm-hmm. years. We've brought our children up together.
Oh.
And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And the first person has become a grandmother 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So today she was absent. She's in Chicago right now. But we thought about her.
Of course. Yeah.
We sent a lot of food with her to Chicago for the new mother.
Oh, yeah. So what kind of special foods did you...
A new mother, you have to... there are certain spices and certain proteins because and anti-inflammatories because it's very stressful on the body to give birth.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of turmeric in the food and some fenugreek to bring in the milk.
Mm.
And so there's
That licorice herb or what?
It's a bitter herb.
Oh, it's bitter.
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of the several flavors that you're supposed to have in food. So, and then we sent her some dal and a pickle that had all the post-delivery spices that you need. And she was instructed not to eat more than one tablespoon because it's medicine at one tablespoon, but it's poison if you eat too much of it because it's very salty.
And you recently delivered an entire meal for a wedding.
Yes. And actually, I served it in my backyard.
Oh, you
did? So this was for one of the women that I cook with.
Okay.
And her son was getting married. And we had 90 people that I cooked for. And we made Indian street food for them. So I run my cooking project as a home-cooked service. When we cook every Monday as the three women, we often cook for somebody who's just had a baby or somebody who just got out of the hospital because they broke a leg or someone who needed love in some form. We make an extra portion and then we send it to them. And over the years, I'd keep getting like, well, how can I get your food if I'm not sick? You know, how can I get it just to have it? And I have a very good friend, Alessandra Chiarelli. She's from Brazil. And she kept on asking me to, can't you make it into a business? And then I tried doing a business and it was not pleasant to do a business. And all this making a certain goal of you have to make so much money and to pay off your overheads and you have to please your food inspectors. And then, you know, when you work out of a commercial kitchen, they want you to work a minimum of so many hours so that they can have a predictable income. And it just became this thing that was about 75% not about making food. And I just want to make food. I want to do the creative part. I don't want to do all that.
Yeah, the business part.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I had a party one day a couple of years ago and said, I just went to India for 5 months and learned all these traditional Ayurvedic medicinal ways of preparing food. And I fed everyone and I said, listen, I was thinking that I would make food at home. And if you would like to be part of this community shared meal, sign up for it and we'll find some form of barter. You can either donate money towards ingredients or you can come and help me prepare the food and do some labor or you can go shopping. You can do some form of exchange. And so I make about 60 servings once a month from a different part of India. And people come and pick it up. And if they have 4 servings, my husband delivers on bicycle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. During the summer.
So just like a dabbawala, like in India. And he actually wears the little traditional hat and does the delivery service with this.
What profession is Jim in?
He's actually a filmmaker. He's a film editor.
Okay.
And that's what he's done all his life.
And he owns his own firm?
He used to. He just sold it.
Okay. So. And what's the name of the firm?
Channel Z.
Channel Z.
Yes.
And he just sold his share of it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's, you're in a different transition than
we are. Redefining and we feel it. You know, in your late 50s, you redefine because you just feel like, well, I have only a few healthy years left and I'm not going to waste it doing things I don't feel like doing. I'm just going to do all the things that make me feel purposeful.
Yeah. Good. That's exciting.
So I found a way. I know it is not straightforward and it doesn't look like the American way, but I don't really care right now. I have a few good years left and I'm just going to live it out the fullest way.
Well, and America has room for that.
Yes.
You know, everybody can carve out their own
lifestyle, and you're pioneering kind of a new perspective on it. And I really appreciate that. And it seems to serve you well, and it brings the community to you.
It does. And, you know, we're in touch with our neighbors anyway. We don't actually even need to do a block party because we see each other all the time. But we do have a block party because who doesn't like a party? But this is a good way of every month making sure I catch up with everyone because they come to pick up the food. And then I also hear, get feedback on whether they liked it or didn't like it. And I see everyone.
Even while we're having our conversation, someone was dropping off a bag of tins. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So part of the philosophy of, you know, being connected to what you are, like that you're an organism and that the earth itself is an organism or everything, everything that you inhabit.
We're all connected.
It's all part of what you are. So you wouldn't put garbage into your mouth and eat it, would you? And so it's the same way. You can't put trash into the ground because you're disrespecting, you're actually disrespecting yourself when you do that. And so I'm trying to do this way of reusing as much as I can. And it's a little bit sometimes a pain because people have to return their containers to me. But we feel, since it's all neighbors and friends, we get a little two-minute visit out of it too. And so they come and they have their either glassware or in the tins, the stainless steel tins, the tiffins. And they take their food away in that, wash it, and bring it back to me. And then I fill it again, and they come and pick up their food in it again.
Yeah.
And it's a very small step in not making a little bit of trash for the poor earth to eat, you know?
Because yeah.
If you don't see the trash, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to try and not do that.
And the bread that you're making, tell us how it's different. Because you're making it differently than you have in the past.
Yes. So in 2006, I made the starter for a bread, and I made it with out of a book, actually, by Nancy Silverton. I followed her method in making sourdough. But I was never able to change the ratio of whole wheat to more than, you know, I could get about 1/3 of it being whole wheat and then 2/3 of it being sifted flour. And everything that you sift out from sifted flour is the good stuff. And I wanted to put the good stuff back in, and I wanted a loaf that still rose and wasn't dense. And I just found a recipe from reading Michael Pollan's book, Cooked. And it's all about fermenting the grains and taking your time. So now I have a 4-day sourdough. I start the starter, then I make a leaven, I soak the grains, I combine and have to do this form of fermentation. Then I do a stage called the retard, which is where you put it into the fridge and it ferments at a lower temperature and becomes sour.
And then we the bake retard it. Part.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And then we, on day 4, I bake it. And it's a nice, hopefully this time. I'm trying this new recipe. So I did it the first time a few days ago. And it just didn't have the crumb. I wanted it to have the crust was a little softer. And so I feel compelled to deal with what the problem
She's
is right now.
Yeah. In a fist. Yeah. That's really great. And you also like to use local growers and producers and working to keep alive kind of the traditional food growing processes.
Yes. So the most healthy food, according to the folklore I grew up with, and I completely buy it, is the food that grows closest to you and was picked, the more alive the food is, the more life it gives you. So if it grows close to you, it's going to nourish you better than something that grew in Brazil or in Hawaii. Because all that transportation, it's dying as it's coming to you. Whereas something you plucked from your garden and you ate gives you much more life. And it tastes better too, because it was sun-ripened, not ripened by some artificial method.
Yeah. Like tomatoes, growing your own tomatoes. I mean, they just taste the best.
And that's with everything. And they also feed you that way, because you digest, you absorb more of the essence of that food, and it fuels you in a better way. So I try as much as I can. One of the beliefs in this, the Ayurvedic food philosophy, is that to be alive in Minnesota, I need to eat the medicine that Minnesota gives me, which is what comes out of the Minnesota soil. So if I buy from the farmer, I am eating much more nourishing food. If I eat, as I said, something that was grown in Hawaii, it will nourish me, but it's nourishing me to live in Hawaii. And so I want to eat as much as I can from over here, which is why I shop at the farmers market year-round. And I know that in Minnesota, things don't grow for 6 months out of the year. But you can, and there are farmers at the St. Paul Farmers Market who overwinter a whole bunch of root vegetables. And you, if you eat by the seasons, you are actually nourished for the season you're living in.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that they were open in the winter.
They are.
Wow. It's good to know. Oh, yeah. Well, it makes me want to go home and cook some nourishing food and buy Minnesota.
Yes.
I know the raised beds for growing vegetables seems to be an easier way of keeping the soil fresh and also maintaining vegetable gardens.
It extends the season a little bit too.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, it gets, the soil gets warmer faster because it's up outside the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So you can plant a little bit earlier.
Okay. Well, I'm most interested in the raised beds. Maybe I'm going to try that. I've gotten pretty far from my farming roots where we had like a half an acre of a garden. So great. Well, if a We Mentor listener happens to be interested, can they order your monthly Wednesday meal, your tiffin?
Yes, I would suggest that they take a class or come have a meal. I do these dinner demos. I do classes so you can watch the food being made and you can participate in making the food and then eat it. And then, you know, if that's the style of food that you enjoy, then yes, become part of the community table.
Okay.
That we do once.
So you have some key words that you use to describe your project and how people can connect with you. Observe. So that's where you have the workshops and the classes. Savor is when you can savor your meals by through the monthly theme that you have for shared meals. And celebrate, so you're a chef for hire.
Yes, I'm a personal chef. So I'll come to your house and I'll, you know, cook for your party or your gathering. I sometimes make some of the foods at my house and then finish it at the party. And I recently did a wedding rehearsal at someone's house with fine china and service, and we had to hire a couple of people to be servers, and it went very beautifully.
So you have suggested prices for these so
yes.
that you know how to be, they people know how to compensate you for all the effort and all the ingredients and everything and the time
yes.
that you're spending.
Yes.
So they're contributions.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, that's so wonderful. I appreciate what you're doing. And the last keyword that you have on your website is play. So you have several films. One is more recent. And then I'll have in the show notes so people can easily click on those films to enjoy.
Thank you.
Yes. First one is the film, your final project at film school. and it has the process of in India of preparing the lunches.
Yes,
the
it's tiffin. In Bombay, actually, oh, the city of Bombay where this takes place. It doesn't happen anywhere else in India. It's just specific to Bombay. It's an old system, yes.
Okay, that's right. It says that in the film. I'm just remembering it right now as you're talking. Yeah, terrific. Well, thank you so much for sharing your philosophy and your insights and how you're living your life.
Thank you.
Yes, I just appreciate you so much. And thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. And we've been drinking Gita's tea. It's been so delicious. Thank you so much. All right, we'll see everybody next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. Totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at wementor.com or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.